Hello, my name is Lucie, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. More than a third of the world's population calls just two countries home, and in recent years, the economies of both India and China have enjoyed some of the fastest growth in the world. Since 1995, average income in China grew nearly tenfold, and in India, it's nearly quadrupled. As the global economy becomes increasingly interconnected, the growth rate of these two countries has major implications for the rest of the world. In an article entitled The Tiger and the Dragon in the September issue of Finance and Development, James Walsh of the IMF's Asian and Pacific Department explores how India and China have achieved their rapid growth and how each might learn from the other. He began by explaining why he chose to compare the Chinese and Indian growth models.
We chose India and China because they are the two largest countries in the world in terms of population, and because, in particular, over the last 10 years, on average, these are the two countries, large countries, that have had the highest rates of growth. So we were wondering if there are lessons that these economies might have for other economies and how they've achieved these high growth rates and what they might have to learn one from the other.
In your article, you wrote that those two countries actually had very similar initial conditions, such as late agrarian reforms, large population, heavy state involvement. But they ended up having very different development paths. Why?
In China, there was this focus on external growth, whereas in India, the focus of the initial reforms was on liberalizing the economy and on removing red tape. And this did not have the same explicit focus on manufacturing. So because of that, India built on strengths that it already had, and it's a lot of its early stages of growth were focused on supplying a domestic market. To the extent that India has moved into export markets, its exports are actually quite diversified, but it's been able to move into higher value-added exports in a way that China has not.
Where do these two countries stand today?
China is now the second largest economy in the world after the United States, and India is a few spots lower. But when you take into account the fact that everything from haircuts to omnibus fares is cheaper in India and China, and you adjust for those lower prices, China remains the second largest economy in the world, but India is third. So these are two very large economies, and even though both economies have slowed recently, they're still growing much more quickly than the advanced economies. And what that means is that there's quite a bit of market opportunities for exporters and for companies all over the world who are looking to get more involved in these markets. And both countries right now are reassessing their growth strategies because economies change and your policies have to change as the economy changes.
So have their initial development strategy changed a lot more then?
In India, the focus continues to remain on deregulating the economy and on trying to support a broadly diversified development strategy. There's still quite a bit of state control in India and in China, especially in the financial system. In India, the largest banks remain publicly owned. But in India, there's still more of a role for the private sector in some industries than there is in China. India has private banks that have introduced quite a bit of competition into the financial system, and its equities market is completely open to the rest of the world and very transparent and sort of a model. While in China, the strategy until recently has still remained very focused on exports. Recently, the Chinese authorities have tried to focus the model more on domestic consumption. Both countries are right now on their 12th five-year plans, and in China, one of the goals of this current five-year plan is to increase domestic demand, to make sure that consumers within China are the main driving force behind the economy, rather than consumers in the United States or in Europe.
What are the downsides of each of these models?
One of the issues that we've seen in the Chinese economy is that the focus on exports has led to very high levels of saving in China. And while saving is good, everybody has to save for a rainy day, the levels of saving are so high that it's depressing people's consumption. And people are often saving for reasons like they need to be able to buy medical care or they're concerned about supporting themselves during their retirement. And this is something that in many other countries, the government is able to provide these services. And for that reason, the Chinese authorities now are trying to broaden their own social safety net to try to increase pensions for older people and provide more health services. And this is part of their readjustment strategy. With India's strategy, one of the problems is that they've been quite successful in very high-end industries, such as petrochemicals, pharmaceuticals, and these high-end software and business process services. But these don't create a lot of jobs. And to bring the large majority of Indians into higher incomes and to benefit a lot more people, what you would need to do is figure out a way to support more labor-intensive jobs, either in services or in manufacturing. But that will require shifts in how the labor market is regulated, and that's been a weakness of India's strategy.
So do China and India share common challenges at all?
both countries face the challenge of making growth more inclusive. So even though China has reduced poverty by hundreds of millions of people, it's still such a large country that there are still many people who are left behind. And in India, the process began a little later. So the record isn't quite as impressive yet, but still many, many people have moved into more middle-class levels of income. But in both countries, many people remain behind. And in particular, many people lack access to the kind of public services that we would hope every country would be able to provide. This is areas such as pensions and healthcare and even the quality of education.
So your underlying thesis in your article is that the two countries should learn from one another. But it seems that despite those challenges that you earlier talked to us about, each seem to be on a very successful economic path. So why should they do it?
In India's case, the government in India has an explicit policy to support manufactured exports, partially for the reason I mentioned before, that they view this as a way to bring more people into the labor force and to further reduce poverty. And China has been unusually successful at doing this. It's gone from being a relatively small player in global export markets to being the country that's most closely connected to the rest of the world in the last few years. So India could learn quite a bit from how China has done promotion of exports. And no system is perfect, and the Chinese system has had its cost in terms of environmental degradation and in other areas. But China has been able to focus its infrastructure investments and focus its government policies in a way that has facilitated things for exporters. On the other hand, China faces the challenge that while it has traditionally produced relatively inexpensive goods to export to other countries, these are markets where there's more and more competition. There are countries in Southeast Asia and in Africa that will be able to produce goods as well as the Chinese can, and the Chinese, for that reason, to maintain their growth, will have to move into producing more expensive items or services. And India has been very successful at this. India has been able to set up companies and connections with the rest of the world, and there are areas such as protection of intellectual property and how the government relates to these kind of high-end services, where the Chinese could probably learn from the Indians as well.
Finally, do you think that if these two countries don't implement the sort of reforms that you just talked about, will we see a significant slowdown in their growth?
In India and in China, there are risks that if they don't follow through with these structural reforms, there may be limits to what they've already been able to achieve. So in China's case, for example, exports have been a driving force of Chinese growth. But Chinese exports are already such a big share of global trade that it's hard to see how they can rise much farther. So if China's going to continue the same levels of growth that it had before, it's unlikely to be able to come from the rest of the world. It'll have to come from within China itself. And in the Indian case, there's a strong agenda for structural reform in India that needs to be implemented if they're going to be able to grow quickly as well. Infrastructure is a big stumbling block in India. They're trying to invest quite a bit of money in roads and in power generation, but as the very large blackout across northern India would show a few weeks ago, there's still a long way to go before India has the kind of infrastructure that would be able to support very rapid growth.
This was James Walsh of the IMF's Asian and Pacific Department on China and India's rapid growth. And to hear more podcasts, log on to www.imf.org/podcasts.